Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Nicole Hannah-Jones, creator of The 1619 Project from the New York Times Magazine. The project makes a case that you don't often hear in history textbooks, that slavery was foundational to America. So it wasn't surprising that we ignited a fierce debate among historians about these issues. But that's the power of The New York Times, to spark an important dialogue with bold, rigorous reporting that forces us to examine our assumptions. To learn more, go to nytimes.com/worthit.
Hi, I'm Imri, the host of the Wannabe Podcast, the podcast that takes you from where you are now to where you want to be in 30 minutes or less. Thank you so much for joining me again today. I'm so excited that you're here. If you have not listened to yesterday's episode with Yessa Daly Ward, then I urge you to circle back to that because it was an incredibly powerful episode. Before we get started with today's episode, I just want to give you a quick reminder to check out Shout Out Live, the festival. It is going to be an incredible day, and we have got all of the radical women in podcasting here to tell their stories, to share their thoughts, opinions, and advice so that you can take your podcast ideas to the next level. We have panels called Content is Queen, Developing the Next Generation of Female Podcasters, workshops that include storytelling in your podcast. We have confidence building sessions and how to build fruitful brand partnership workshops. And I'll be doing a live show with a very special guest who is yet to be announced. So please do head on over to solivefestival.com and register to get your ticket. Word on the street is that the ticket, if you register, is £10 off. So I don't know how long that's going to last for. I suggest you go and register now. Like, do it now. SOLIVE, L-I-V-E, festival.com. Today, I am joined by the brilliant Yessa Daly Ward. She is a writer, model, and poet. Yessa first wrote On Snakes and Other Stories, self-published Bone, and her most recent book, The Terrible, which is published by Penguin, is a memoir about her life in the north of England. I talked a little bit about it already, and we're going to talk about it some more today. In today's episode, we talk about how you tell other people's stories when they overlap with your own. We touch on toxic relationships and how to escape them, and why meditation is essential for a busy life. Let's go.
Who did you want to be before you became who you are today, and why?
Well, actually, the person that I wanted to be is like a version of myself. I wanted to be confident, which is something that I didn't have naturally, I don't think, apart from in some very distinct areas. And I wanted to, I don't know, be able to speak my truth and to, you know, go out in the world and I guess be of service in some way. But I just didn't know what that was. Or indeed, I kind of had an idea of what it was, but I didn't know how to go about it.
Yeah, was it like a positive impact thing? So were you looking at like the people that were making massive changes and thinking, yes, that's kind of what I want?
I was, but there was certainly a part of it that felt very far away.
Yeah.
As though like, oh, I know I'd like to be there, but like, how do you get there? How does like an ordinary person get there?
You know?
So it's been a really interesting experience, the whole thing.
Yeah, because you've really kind of like blown up. I guess internet and social media really has helped in a lot of ways.
Of course it does.
It's making a lot of people, it's like really democratized how we consume content, who we're consuming content from.
Yeah.
And it's really giving us access to different mediums that I guess we wouldn't have ordinarily have had like 10, 20 years ago.
Right.
I say this like I'm more than 30 years old. I'm not. Mm-hmm. but it's really democratized like how we view things. And I really love The Terrible, which is kind of what we're here to talk about a little bit. And how honest you were, and something that really, I guess for me, like I related so much to it because I have Jamaican family, like my dad's side is Jamaican, my mom's side is Kitishan, so they're still Caribbean. It's all the same. No, it's not the same.
quite different, isn't it?
They are quite
different. The nuances.
The small island versus big island thing. that's a whole separate aside, but I could definitely relate to like some of how you develop the story, especially in the beginning where you're setting up like your grandparents' house and the display cabinet and the yes. back room. My grandma still has a back room.
Yes, everybody has it.
It's there. I was wondering if my mum was going to grow up and actually develop this kind of cabinet and fine china that only sits in that cupboard and never gets taken out ever.
Never gets used.
It's really weird. I was like, where is this going to go when you die?
It's like a house. It's like a room in the house that's just decorative.
Yeah.
Like a decorative. It's very, very interesting.
It's so much posher than how I live right now.
Yeah.
Because
oh God, me too.
Flats are small.
Very, very.
And small. Extra rooms get turned into bedrooms. So.
I think I've got like an aversion now to having too much stuff. My flat is so minimal. I have like, I think people would walk in and be like, where is your stuff? Because I like to go through life with as little as possible. But I think it's almost like a response to growing up with like boxes and boxes of things and things packed up on top of other things. And yeah.
That's a really cool way to go about it because my mom is slightly a hoarder and
yes.
so I have hoarding traits.
Oh,
but I hoard really weird things. Like I'll hoard clothes, weird, which is fine, and I'll hoard papers, which actually is probably a really common thing to hoard.
Yeah, no, I do you have those drawers and like suitcases full
yes,
of paper? Yeah,
suitcase
this might
full
be
of
relevant.
Papers.
Yeah. Oh, goodness.
So I really would like to know how you managed to get around to going completely the opposite, like so minimal. Is it just because it was just so much like...
Yeah, and I think my mind feels a lot clearer when there is less around me.
Yeah.
I also don't like to be linked to... I like to come through a time and... I don't like to be linked too much in past. That I like to live very here and now. So unless you really, you know, there's some banking stuff that you have to hold on to.
Yeah.
But every time like I join anything, I'm always like paperless, like really strictly. You know, I don't like wasting paper either. But it's like I just don't like to have a lot of stuff. I feel like it weighs me down. So yeah, and also I move so much, it just
yeah.
isn't feasible.
I hear that, man. I remember I lived in the Caribbean for 2 years. So I lived in St. Kitts. And it really forced me to really prioritize what stuff I wanted to take. But I always paid for two suitcases.
Like,
I was
really?
Going to pay. I paid. I had to. I was
wow.
going to be there for 2 years. And over that time, I had just accumulated so much stuff. And I lived in an empty house. There was like no furniture. There were no kitchen utensils. For like the first 3 months, I was living off noodles and a kettle.
Goodness me.
It was really dramatic. And so, yeah, I do remember that time where I was like, I didn't even have that much stuff. It was nice. And now
yeah.
I'm like back to my old ways.
Oh, you've gone back. You've reverted.
Yeah. I have way too much stuff. I need
oh,
to.
Oh, wow.
And I watched the Minimalist documentary too.
Oh, I need to like, see that.
Oh, it's on Netflix. It's amazing.
Yeah,
it's all about like stripping back and people that live in tiny houses.
Yeah, I love tiny homes.
I find them very claustrophobic.
I can understand that though. I can understand, you know, I think sometimes you need space to breathe, don't you?
And yeah.
They can be a little bit oppressive. But I love the idea of not having a lot of stuff. But it's hard. It's hard because you just naturally accumulate stuff, don't you?
Yeah, it's trinkets and things. But do you think trinkets. Some of that comes back from you being like a Seventh-day Adventist? Well, growing up that way, where you're not really allowed to kind of accumulate things that show off like wealth or anything like that.
Well, it's interesting. It's a strange paradox there because then they're Jamaican, so they do.
Yeah.
You know, because they've got all the lace tablecloths and lots of chintz and lots of like, you know, snow globe cones and like
yeah.
and so many ornaments that are glass, like coloured glass and like yeah, the China figurines.
Do you have the ones with the sand, the multicoloured sand?
Yes,
that's like a fish or something.
Yes, of course. That I feel like everybody's got that.
Yeah,
everybody's got that one.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cute though. I used to think, oh, I want to inherit these, but
no.
I don't like keep them in my mind.
Maybe put them in like a museum where they can just. Be a walkthrough
yeah.
for other people. Just archive them somewhere. Maybe the Black Cultural Archives.
There's a really good book called The Front Rooms. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't.
Oh my goodness. A Front Room book. And it shows like all the West Indian houses, typically probably what our West Indian grandma's houses are like right now, from the 60s. Like, and they haven't
oh,
really
nice.
Changed. All
yeah.
the wallpaper, and everything that we were talking about. It's really like, oh, it's really nostalgic, actually.
Oh, I love that. I might get it.
Yeah.
I'll have to get it.
I'll send you the link.
Please do. I really want it. I love looking at that stuff. I love going to my grandma's house because it's really just like a throwback into
yeah.
being like 5 or 6 years old again.
Yeah.
And we go back every Christmas. So it's really very much like, whoa, I'm reverting back
yeah.
to being like a tiny person.
Nothing nothing much changes.
Yeah,
does it?
It definitely doesn't change.
This is Nicole Hannah-Jones, creator of the 1619 Project from the New York Times Magazine. The project makes a case that you don't often hear in history textbooks, that slavery was foundational to America. So it wasn't surprising that we ignited a fierce debate among historians about these issues. But that's the power of the New York Times, to spark an important dialogue with bold, rigorous reporting that forces us to examine our assumptions. To learn more, go to nytimes.com/worthit.
At all. What is the terrible?
So the terrible, okay, so I'll give you the obvious answer first. The terrible is a memoir, kind of chronicling from when I was a child until last year. And the reason it is called the terrible is because I kind of thought about the terrible as personification of the things that we all go through. It can be grief, it can be loneliness, abandonment, it can be despair, it can be sadness, depression, eating disorders, anything that, mm-hmm. you know, that any common themes, and something that you things that you really need to deal with. And if you don't deal with them, how it can just follow you. So it'll be like this little monster just like running alongside you your whole life unless you do something. It does not matter where in the world you go. It doesn't matter your coordinates. It's a state of mind and it's something that you have to deal with. So with this idea of the terrible as a thing or as a person that's with you, I just wanted to explore that. It didn't happen on purpose. You know, when you're writing, it comes from somewhere else anyway.
Yeah.
So it just kind of came together and I thought, yeah, you know, that's what the terrible is. And I think everyone has their own version of the terrible.
Oh, for sure. I had moments where I definitely related to some elements of your story, especially, I guess, like that kind of early 20s phase where I was running around doing wild things, just wild things. Even in St. Kitts, where I was kind of more free. And it was that feeling of being like, I'm not beholden to anyone anymore and just doing the wildest things. And I think it was your friend Paulette in the book who was just your kind of wild friend.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I was like, I had that person. It lasted all of 3 weeks because she was crazy.
Yeah. And it's not sustainable
it's
to have those people in your life because they're never going to say, okay, let's reel it back a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, you're just going to go to the bitter end. So
she probably could have gotten me killed for sure.
Oh, yeah. Wow. So she, wow, it was like that.
It was very, like, it was a free week and very intense friendship that started very much out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And became quite toxic very quickly. And then it just had to. And I was like, I can't see you anymore. Like,
and those friendships really are, it's strange. They get really intense very quickly, don't they? How did you get out of it?
So similar to how this is why I related so much, because you know how you said she had called you and just said really horrible things. She basically did my friend did the same thing. We went out and she had introduced me to some things that I won't name on the podcast. And it was the first time I'd ever done that. Mm-hmm. And I was really like in a weird space because of it.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the night, she was calling me every name under the sun, like in front of people.
Oh, wow.
I was just like, yes. So I'm not going to hang out with this girl anymore because she was just going off and doing all kinds of crazy things anyway. And I was like, it's cool. We don't have to. Yeah. And it was like,
ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
It was only 3 weeks. I think, like, mentally I was like, it's not that deep. Like, yeah. You have other friends, like, you can, like, fight your way out. But it wasn't, it was very intense. I was really fearful of seeing her in public again.
Oh, I can imagine,
like that.
Yeah.
Because we were on a small island. And it was very traumatic. So I'll never forget her, and I've never stumbled into her ever again.
Oh, good. It's like,
great.
This thing is cancelled now. Over. Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I could definitely, I was reading it, and I was like, it's so weird that I can relate to this part of the Caribbean background.
Yeah.
And then I only know, like, my Jamaican family being Seventh-day Adventist, and I only met them, like, 2 years ago, and I did not go to church.
No.
I got out of it. I was like, I'm not going. You will not make me
Were they mad, or were they okay with it?
I think in their heads they were just disappointed, but because they didn't know me that well, and I was relatively new to meeting that family, they kind of let it slide.
Yeah.
They couldn't hold me down that much, but yeah.
They're like, oh, she was all right. She wasn't raised into it. So,
yeah. They kind of gave me that pass. My mum's family are just Pentecostal Christians, so they don't like you going to carnival or
Christians everywhere
stuff.
With your family.
Literally.
Goodness.
So in terms of writing the tarot, I know that a lot of it is about your family and when you're, I guess when you're writing about family, because I have my own family skeletons that I would probably like to share because it forms part of my story. How do you navigate what parts you're going to tell of other people's story?
It's strange because I really am only responsible for telling my story, but of course your story overlaps with the stories of other people. But the only person whose story I get into quite deeply other than mine is my little brother. And I sent like the proof to him and was asked him, you know, is this, he wanted me to put more in. He was like, tell them about, which I did. They went back and like put more in because I didn't want to compromise him.
Mm-hmm.
But he's just so happy that the story is being told because, you know, it's a story we share and there's so much to it, you know, there's so much grit in there. But he said, no, you know, we need to tell this story. It's ours. And he wants it out there.
That's
so
pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. That but he's a storyteller
nice.
Too,
oh, that's
so,
cool.
You know, he understands how that goes.
That must be, I feel like if I were to tell my story, my family would not take that well.
Well, I feel like not all of them will. You know? Not all of them will. He actually appears on the audiobook.
Oh, nice.
As well. Yeah, he's in the audiobook at the end. Like he does his own parts, which is really cool.
Oh, that's so cool! I can't wait to hear it. I really want an audiobook version.
Oh, it's out today.
Is
so,
it?
Yes.
Score.
Yes. Download it. Yeah.
I will get it from Audible if it's available.
Yes, it is.
Great.
Yes.
Perfect. Are there any parts of the book that you read back and think, oh, maybe I shouldn't have included that?
No, no.
Oh, that's a good feeling.
No, not at all. And you've got to commit to it. You've got to commit to it. No, it's not about censoring yourself. Nobody is demonized in it. You know, it talks just quite frankly about what had happened. And everyone is very human. You know, even the people who were doing not great things, but I don't do great things in it either. Mm. So it's like, yeah, it's, you can't then worry about that because that gets in the way of art. And whenever you're making art, whatever it is, in film, in anything like that, you have to not get in your own way and you have to decide, okay, I'm telling this story, you know. And if at the end of the day, if it really felt wrong, I wouldn't have done it.
Yeah, that's a really good benchmark, I guess. I guess there's the comfort and uncomfortability side of things,
yes.
Which is when you're growing, that's the sign of growth. And then there's the wrong feeling, which I guess feels distinctly different.
Yeah.
I shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
And not out of fear. So I'm guessing, have you gotten really good at knowing the difference?
Well, you know, your soul knows. What I think I have is a really distinct sense of my own self and how I feel. I mean, I really look at, I meditate and stuff. So I'm always like, I have to like quite a balanced core.
Yeah.
You have to, because I'm traveling all over the place and, you know, always
tired.
Yeah,
you need to be grounded.
So you have to. You have to. Or, you know, I couldn't do any of it. So, yeah, I can hear myself. If something feels like distinctly wrong, then I listen to that. Or something doesn't feel, you know, morally right in terms of how I view things, then I look at that as well.
Nice. What got you into meditation besides moving? Or did you get into it before?
I've been a meditator. Is that even a word? I have been involved in meditation for maybe the best part of 2 years. I just find it a really clear way, a really clear and distinct way of checking in with yourself every day. clearing your thoughts and being like, you know, living mindfully, being in the now, listening to your breath and your heartbeat and, you know, realizing that the world and our interconnectivity in it, and also how insignificant we are as individuals, you know, how the, you know, collective energy is really important. And yeah, like my sense of spirituality is very intense, because I was grew up in a very Christian household. So, you know, I love to meditate and give thanks for everything that's around me. And it has to happen on a daily basis.
Oh, wow.
You know, it has to, it's very important, because, you know, when you are busy and, you know, you're working in media and stuff, it can be easy to get those not so nice feelings, you know, feelings of pressure or stress or just anxiety at how fast everything has been moving. So I you know, it's like going to the gym, like it's like mental, you know, a workout. Looking after yourself mentally.
I hear that. Yeah. I recently got into it, I would say, in the last maybe year.
Oh, wow.
So I'm very new to it.
And are you enjoying it? How has it helped?
I am, though. I would say, so when I first started, it was very much, like you said, there's a lot of overwhelm, there's a lot of noise around me, and it really helped to kind of scale back and just, I need to understand what's happening with my body. And I went through like the most intense burnout that I had ever had in like a long time, because we were planning a festival. We had shows being produced. I was just doing so much stuff. And I was like, I am not doing any of these things well. And like, I watched 13 Reasons Why, which triggered me beyond belief.
Goodness. I'm scared to watch
Watch it.
Everybody said it's just way too much. And
it's too much.
I'm too sensitive for all that.
Honestly, if you're a vulnerable person, just don't watch it, because it really triggered one of my worst kind of depressions. Really badly, really, really bad. It's horrible. And it doesn't really do a good job of kind of telling you what to do after. And when you're in, when you place someone into that mind space, the last thing you want to do is get help, or you don't know how to get help. You're just kind of drowning. And I felt like I was just left drowning and unable to find air. And it's only because I've done like CBT in the past, because of past family stuff, that I was able to kind of pull some of those tools out like really quickly to kind of not completely fall to the floor. But it was pretty, pretty horrendous. So yeah, I got into meditation more seriously, just because I was like, I don't know what else I can do. I have antidepressants. I can do therapy, but I need to try something else. I need to get better at looking at what I'm doing and like just holding myself, like the Slumflower was saying at the event, like holding myself accountable. Like, what have I done to contribute to these situations? What have I done to allow, what are my actions that have allowed this to take place?
Yeah.
And I think meditation really helps with that, and like keeping a gratitude journal.
Oh my goodness. I swear by that.
I love them because it really does force you to rethink about how your day went. And instead of focusing on the bad things, you focus on the nice things. And it's a nice shift. So yeah, I definitely like can vouch for some meditation.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Love it. It's brilliant. It's a way of life. You know, it quickly becomes a way of life. And I can feel when I haven't done it.
Yeah,
I can feel it. My soul feels tired. So I'm just like, I need to be like. It's like getting rid of dirty water, isn't it? And then getting the clean water,
like a nice clean bath.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you on that. So finally, I wanted to know what the worst advice you've ever received was and what the best advice you've ever received was.
I think the worst advice, it's a double-edged sword. Okay, the worst advice and the best advice have been almost the same advice, and I'll tell you how it, like, I broke it down. Like, the worst advice was to, like, keep pushing, work hard. It actually was, because what you can do is you can repel the goal by like trying to force things.
Yeah.
You know, you can be like, I want, you know, if money is what you want, it could be like, I want money, I don't have money, how can I get money, blah, 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 blah. And it becomes something that you, that starts to move away from you, because you're always actually focused on the lack.
Yeah,
just like it with work.
Yeah,
like with work, I used to be an actor and I used to chase it so much. I used to send my headshot everywhere, like do everything, you know. And then I'd get into the audition, do the audition, okay. And like I'd always get into the last few people but never get it.
Yeah.
And I was like, why is it? Because I want it so much. And in the same way, anytime thinking about like starting businesses, I would start it and then like then run out of steam. So that was bad advice, because it was kind of the goal, when the goal isn't specific,
yeah,
and it's too much, there's too much resistance and like almost non-believing that you can really get it about it, you're going to repel it. Now, on the flip side of that, working diligently and just diligently rather than hard is mm-hmm. really good advice. So even if you just do an hour a day of writing, it's better than like trying to do, going, I've got it, I should be doing like 6 hours, but I'm not. And then you actually sit there, but nothing comes.
Yeah.
Just doing less, but just checking in with it and enjoying it, you know. So consistency has been my best advice. The consistency is key, but just working hard for the sake of working hard is not like working smart, as they say, yeah. You know.
Oh, that was a word today. I needed that. Thank you. Thank you so much, Yessa. This has been an absolute pleasure.
You're so welcome. This has been a pleasure.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yessa is absolutely brilliant. I cannot wait for you guys to read her book, The Terrible, go and cop that ASAP. It's so, 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 so good, especially if you're from Caribbean descent, like it felt so familiar to me and I really love that about it. If you'd like to follow Yessa on Twitter and Instagram, you can do so at Yessa Daily Ward. That's YRSADALEYWARD. The Terrible is also out now, so go and get it wherever books are sold. If you like this podcast and you think you can do what I do, or you can do it better than I can, then visit shoutoutnetwork.co.uk to find out about membership options or just recording where I record, because you can do that too. Also, just a quick reminder to head on over to solifefestival.com to register to get your tickets. Tickets are super, super limited this year. Like last year, we had over 800 people attend our first festival, which featured like The Brilliant Idiot and The Friend Zone and another round. Like it was actually a sick day. But this year, we do not have the same capacity. We only have 300 tickets available. And we have yet to put it out to the people that came last year. So if you have not registered, please head on over to solifefestival.com. It's all about radical women in podcasting. We have workshops, we have panels, and we have live shows this year. It's really about upgrading the next generation of female podcasters. Like, we are here for it. And yes, gentlemen, you are welcome too. You can come if you register at solifefestival.com. A ticket link will be sent to you with a special promo code. So make sure you go and do that today. Right now is preferable, please and thanks. Be sure to follow Wannabe on Twitter and Instagram at Wannabe Podcast. And if you're enjoying this podcast, please, please, please do leave a rating and review on iTunes. I saw a new one come through and I'm really, really excited about it. But please do help this podcast grow. If you love hearing it week after week, the best thing you can do is head to an Apple device, Mac computer, go onto iTunes and hit some stars. And if you want to say something nice, that's even better. Right. Thank you so much for listening to this episode, and I will catch you next week. Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.